Hey, greetings everybody. To the true saints of God out there, we salute you.
I love that.
It is the Nomad Brother Tupos and Sister Amen Show coming to you from a parking lot somewhere.
Right here. We're in this one.
We're right here. Yep. We hope you're all praise doing God. Well today. We are doing awesome. We traveled to a new town, had a safe trip. We're always thankful for that.
And it was a beautiful day for travel, too.
And Sister Amen.
What?
Do we have some awesome, incredible news about a happening in a body that we can't even tell anybody about yet?
Right.
But it's so awesome that we think God's going to do it and let it all happen. We can't even tell you about it yet.
Right.
But if the Lord wills, we'll be able to tell soon. And it's an awesome thing. So rejoice for the possibility of this happening. And stay tuned. We'll get back. We'll be back
maybe
to that.
If we get tomorrow.
Amen. If
we
get
go
tomorrow.
Home before then.
Amen. Amen. Today we had a brother's call. And we have three new audios up in the Ecclesia Edification area. Ecclesia Gathering area. Sister Amen just put them up. We have one on endurance, a teaching from a brother on endurance. We talked about it. And then we have another audio, which is some general discussion. So we think that will bless you. We're always looking to edify other saints.
Yep. And I got a couple Bible readings up, too, for women.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And so we got some we got a nice windmill video. And we've got some other things that we put up at the top of it. What else did we put up there? Picture of, you just put it up. The windmill.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to go look.
Sister, I'm going to go look. I put a windmill up and she got a scripture verse on there about the wind when you're born again. The wind is like the spirit, or the spirit is like the wind. And there were some other things that we put up there. And she'll go there because I want to put it in my remembrance now that we're thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. It's a video of the lake and a picture of a gospel card going out.
Oh, yeah. A gospel card going out and a video of the lake that we were just at after the brother's call. It's really pretty with the moon shining down.
Hopefully you get to see it before it's gone.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Thank you for looking at that. Mm-hmm. Sister Amen, what is on your heart, mind, and in your notes today? Do you have anything for us? I know you do. You never come and bring nothing. When you're invited to dinner, you always bring something. Are you ready?
I'm just waiting.
All right. You go. It's your turn.
Okay.
Right now.
You sure?
I am.
Okay.
I want to hear.
I was going to share about a few witnessing things that I got to do today.
I love to hear about those.
Two of them were in the morning. I went in to get a couple gallons of water because our water jugs, after a while, they get a little worn out, maybe get a hole or something. And so I was going to get two new ones. And I usually like to buy one of the new ones because they're thicker and then put the refill water in it.
But these are gallon jugs.
Yep, right? Gallon jugs, yeah. And I couldn't find the water refill, so I just got two off the shelf. And I'm walking through and I thought, well, I wonder if there's somebody I can witness to here before I leave. And I come down the aisle and there's a woman, her and I was looking at something and then she was looking at something and then I was looking at something. So it was kind of like a leapfrog kind of thing going down the aisle. And I said, I'm sorry, I keep running into you. And I looked down. And she had big jug, empty water jugs in her cart. And I was like, hey, where is the water refill here? She looked around the corner and pointed. It was like right in plain sight. And I didn't even see it. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And she started walking that way. And so did I. And I saw she was going there. So I didn't say anything else to her other than thank you. I'm filling up my jugs and she's waiting. And when I was done, I thanked her, gave her a gospel card. I think she didn't speak really good English.
Perfect setup.
Yeah, it was perfect. And so that water came into play later when I went to check it out. I went to tip the jug and zing it through the little scanner, and it spilt water all over the top of the thing. And so this older lady, she was like really nice. I was like, I made a mess over here. I'm sorry. Could you help me? And she went and cleaned it up, and I gave her a gospel card, and I got to stand there and talk to her for a little while about it.
So that's awesome. That was awesome. And always then, ready. Always yeah, ready to give out the answer.
And looking. And then we stopped at one place and I went into the bank.
Yep.
And I came back out and you're across the street.
Yep.
And as I was walking in, this little older lady was walking out really super slow, pushing a little walker. And when I came in, I said, are you going out? I'll hold the door for you. She said, nope, I just pushed the button and it opens. I said, oh, okay. And I was in and out of there really fast. And I came out as she was trying to get her walker down the curb. And she was hardly walking really. I think it looked like she might have had a stroke or something because her hand was like clenched. And I said, ma'am, do you need any help getting down the curb? She goes, no, but thank you so much. And I walked ahead, but I walked really slow just to watch her. She got down and she smiled at me. She said, thank you for watching for me. And she spoke, I don't know if she was from like China or something. She spoke with broken English, but, and she said, I'm really slow. Well, I got over to the van and I noticed she's at the car right next to us. Mm. And she's leaning up against the car trying to fold up her walker. And I said, ma'am, I don't mean to bother you. I said, but I'd be happy to help you. She laughed and she said, thank you so much, but I got to know how to do this on my own. Mm. And I was able to give her a gospel card. I didn't want to try to give her one because she was gripping that walker so tight. But it was so perfect to work out there. She stood there for a few minutes while I talked to her about it, too.
Just looking out for your neighbor.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Just little things like that you can do to love your neighbors, yourself type of thing.
And I knew my sisters would be encouraged for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good job, Sister Omen. I got an email today from a man I met out street preaching. And it's interesting. You know, the brothers and I talked about this. You get a lot of people want to defend their false practices. In this case, this man's talking about instrumental music. And they always pull out Romans 14, liberty verse, or liberty chapter. And we always want to talk about the context of Romans 14. You can't go to Romans 14 where Paul says, don't judge your brother, that you know they have liberty to choose what they want to do, without looking at the context. The context of Romans 14 is this. Ready? Romans 14, verse 6. But he that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. It's about food and holidays from Torah law, Jew and Gentile. It's not about bringing in your false traditions. It's not about being worldly. It's not about using instruments. It's not about pagan holidays. We hear this all the time, and it's terrible, terrible eisegesis. They're pulling his verses out to make it say what they wanted to say, but good exegesis. Look at the context. Paul is saying no Gentile should judge the Jew, and no Jew should judge the Gentile. Does that make sense, Sister Drummond?
Yeah, that is something we hear all the time, and it's usually over Christmas is one of the biggest ones they do it over.
Christmas, Easter, Halloween, how people can dress.
Yeah, then it goes into all that.
They take liberty to do anything they want outside of God's word, and we can't let that stand. So I got to email them back, and we're going to talk about that. And then
they also say all things are lawful for me.
Yep.
They use that one too.
Yep, yep. And they twist it out of context. So
yeah.
And I also got another email from another man, and this man was talking about fearing that God might have already turned him over. So the brothers and I talked about it, and we had some good conversation, and they hit it right on the head. You're not turned over if you have a conscience and guilt and you want to leave your sin still. God hasn't turned you over. When he turns you over is when you no longer feel conviction and you're basically a slave to your sin and there's no way out. Because the goodness of God, Romans 2:4, O despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. We know God gives us repentance, grants repentance. So like with Pharaoh hardened his heart. God said, you want a hardened heart? I know he won't change. Let's really harden it. So God will turn people over that he knows will not choose him in the end. Mm-hmm. People that have a chance still can still repent. So if you ever run into people that talk about that, oh, I think God turned me over, I'm feeling guilty. No. What they need to do is repent today, stop doing their sin, and start following Christ. And the big problem is most people sit in that and go, I think God turned me over. They kind of can use it as a crutch if you're not careful. And they can kind of use it as almost like a super spiritual kind of thing. I don't know why people do it. Because if they feel guilt about their sin, what should they do, Sister Amin?
They should repent.
Yeah.
Ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
God is merciful and he promises he will forgive us.
Amen. So if you run into people like that or people that deal with that, just encourage them that if they still have a conscience, God hasn't turned them over and there's a chance. But the Bible says today's the day of salvation, and today we should, and also that we should judge ourselves as the body. Judgment begins in the house of God. So if you are that person, or if you know people like that, encourage them to get going right away today and not linger in their sin, because God may at some point turn them over.
Right. And don't you think that just kind of turns the focus more on the person?
That's what I was thinking.
Than the power of what God does.
Yeah. Kind of a self-focus on my sin rather than what God can do to help me overcome my sin.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that, yeah.
And we were just talking in the body about, like, when you find out what issue you have, like, let's say you have pride. You don't sit and focus on your pride to solve pride. You find out what you have, pride, and then you focus on Christ and meekness and humility and serving others to beat the pride. So it's like you always focus on the opposite of the problem you have. If you feel like you're stingy and you don't ever give, then you shouldn't just sit there and think, I'm stingy and never give. You should practice giving to defeat the sin of being stingy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it would be like a woman. When you mentioned pride, I was thinking from a woman's standpoint, usually it's how they look.
Yeah.
And a woman who's brand new at this is looking around at everybody like, they're all looking at me. They think I'm weird. They think I'm strange. What she should be doing is saying, wow, praise God, I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. I get to dress my holy temple in the way he wants me to and be a billboard for him.
Amen.
And stand for righteousness and truth and not be focusing on the pride of what brings you down and stumbles you.
Yeah, amen. A lot of it is a mindset and an attitude, and you need to have the mindset of Christ, so that's a big help. So ponder that. And then we also talked about being spirit-led in the body. And I mentioned to the brethren how in the fellowship of saints, it is such a sweet thing when people all submit, serve each other, love God, keep his word, and they're spirit-led, and everybody's willing to obey. And I'm telling you, the Spirit and the Lord can do so many things, and it's a sweet thing. The Bible talks about bitter and sweet. It's a sweet thing when there's unity and things are moving forward and everyone's growing and they're finding their ministry and they're edifying each other. It's a beautiful thing to behold, is it not, Sister Amen?
It is.
And then it also can be bitter when one person or a couple people or maybe half the body decides, we're not going to obey that. We're doing this. We're going to get in our flesh and do our own way. Wow, it can be bitter and just rip everything apart.
Oh, I know.
And we've seen both. And we're right now in a season with some people that we're just finding a lot of sweetness and unity. And it's really awesome. And it all comes down to the glory of God. It all comes down to people just submitting themselves to his will and his spirit. And that's an awesome thing. I encourage you to do that in your life, whether you have believers or you're on your own. Submit to the Spirit of God. Obey the word. Start walking in it. And God will do sweet things in your life. If you follow your own ways in your flesh, you're in for a lot of bitter.
Right.
And it's not going to be good. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So we need to all be quickened by the Spirit, and then we can walk in this glorious harmony and unity in the body. So that's an awesome thing. Any thoughts on that, Sister Emma?
Yeah, that is awesome. And if you kill your flesh and you're humble and you don't have all that pride and thinking that you're something, God's really going to be able to use you, and that's how the body's going to work together.
Yeah, preferring others over yourself,
right.
That's a huge one.
Oh, it definitely
doing
is.
What the Spirit calls you to do, not what you want to do in the flesh.
Yeah, and on that note, sisters, you know, a lot of times the flesh blinds you and you can't see it, so the body is there to help, maybe kind of point it out.
Yep.
Iron sharpens iron. If you have a conscience, or if you're you do have a conscience, but if your conscience is bothering you about something you're either doing or not doing because you see a sister who is either doing it the right way and you're not,
amen.
Maybe go talk to them and ask them to help you, or don't quench that, because that's going to cause the bitterness in the body. It will grow.
Yeah, and accountability is really good.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Accountability is really good in the body. Uh-huh. I want to talk about witnessing. How many times when we witness, we have people that don't hear the truth, don't see the truth, don't want the truth. They're like blind. It's like trying to talk to a person with another language. They just don't get it. And when that happens, you need to make a discernment and realize, like, when you preach the gospel, if their response is not drawn to it, and they either ignore it, mock it, heckle it, reject it, walk away from it, you got to understand, they have not eyes to see and ears to hear. 1 John 4:6 says, "We are of God, he that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So it's pretty clear. Don't think, well, maybe they're not, they don't know, maybe they're just holding back. It's pretty clear. When you preach the gospel, the people that are drawn to it come to it. Mm-hmm. When you preach the gospel and people hate it or ignore it or just walk by you, they're not called of God. They're not of God. And if they're not of God, whose are they? They're Satan's. And Jesus told them in John, in the book of John 8, he said, "You can't hear me because you're father is Satan." Mm-hmm. So this is really a hard realization. Preach the gospel to somebody. If they're going to be or they are of the Father, they come to it. If they just cast it down and don't care about it, they're Satan's.
Oh, yeah.
There's only two places.
It's kind of pretty much black and white.
Kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan, no middle ground. Now, they could be in the kingdom of Satan unknowingly and go, oh, my, and they need to repent and rebel against that and come to God. But there is no middle ground. It's one or the other. And it really helps you when you witness to know who is who. Then don't cast your pearls. Mm-hmm. Wait for the Holy Spirit to either convict them, illuminate them. Wait for them to repent, decide to seek more. But, you know, if you got a bum and he's hungry and you give him a sandwich and he won't eat the sandwich, don't think you can shove a chicken, a pizza, and another cheeseburger down him. If he ain't hungry, you ain't going to feed him. That makes sense.
Right. And we've seen that in real life,
yeah,
too.
The old saying, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. I used to have horses. That's true. Same thing with people. You can lead them to the truth, but if they don't want it, you're not going to be able to convince them. It has to be of God. God calls everyone to repentance, but they got to answer. And then God, as they draw near to God, he draws near to them. Most people hear the call, the gospel to come. They don't want to answer.
Right. And how many times over the years we've said it is what it is.
Yeah.
A lot of times your flesh rises up and maybe wants to make allowance for things or maybe
excuses.
Yeah. And you're trying to be not too critical or whatever you want to say. You know, we're not judging people, but we judge their fruit.
Right.
And if somebody's going to walk away on the gospel or try to keep changing the subject or kind of dancing around, it's like they're not coming to it and wanting it and receiving it.
Amen. Amen. So, good point. Yeah. Be fruit inspectors in your life, the hardest. Yep. In the people you're closely united to, then in the people that claim Christ, and then the world we preach the gospel. So remember that. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit. So be aware of that when you're witnessing. If people don't have eyes and ears to hear, don't spend a lot of extra time. Give them truth, then let the Holy Spirit convict them before you give them more. Because oftentimes they need two or three bits of information. Giving them 27 is not going to make a difference. Mm-mm. So that's important to remember when we're witnessing.
Right.
Sister Amon, what else is on your heart, your mind you want to share? I just have another scripture verse and a little concept after this. No, I have a couple scripture verses. Well, no, just one. Just one. I have just one.
Oh, okay. I have a couple.
Go for it.
All right. Remember that we were out on the street out by the Spam Museum?
And that the Spam Museum, yeah.
That man came up to me. And he gave me that little card, and he was trying to talk to me about his book that he wrote. A man was trying to tell me that a day in the Lord is like 1,000 years. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how it said. And he said he wrote a book and that it wasn't done in 24-hour periods. And we know that's not true, what he said, because of Genesis 1:5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And he goes all the way through the week.
Sounds like 24 hours to me.
Yeah, and how do we know that? John 11:9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world."
And there would be 12 hours at night.
Right, so I just want to bring that point up. That man on the street trying to do that, we got his card. We'll have to maybe go check that out and see if somebody needs to be warned about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so be aware of that, sisters. You know, a lot of times you get caught out on the street. We get that once in a while where people are trying to hawk their books.
Oh, yeah.
Go here, go there, do this, do that. And what you need to do is bring it back to the gospel, depending on who it is. And you can hear the audio that I dealt with him and try to do it in a nice, kind way because he wasn't mean or
right.
anything.
Yeah, but don't go down those rabbit trails. This guy on his card, he's got about this Sphinx in Egypt. He's got a thing about the lost city of Atlantis. He's like off on all kinds of rabbit trails.
You know what? For one thing, I couldn't hardly hear him, and I didn't really understand him, and I was just kind of focused in on trying to round it over and get him over by you
yeah.
or to email or something. But yeah so anyway.
Good point.
Yeah, don't allow yourself to get drug into those conversations, because those kind of things, it's not the gospel. It's not what they need.
We call them rabbit trails.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. You know, it's funny. They bring something up like that, and it's so clear in Scripture.
Yeah.
It's really easy to see.
The foolishness of man.
Yeah. And then I just had a section of Scripture here that I think is a good example for trusting in the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:16-18. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And I was just thinking, there's nothing new under the sun, because there's a puny few today.
Yep.
And oftentimes, you know, people will just cut and run and leave you. And we see that back then, too.
Yep,
you know,
Paul exactly.
talked about that. And then we just trust in the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, we might have a little bit of technology today, but there's human nature and God, God's character and nature hasn't changed. How he's dealing with man in the New Testament hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. Man's character and nature hasn't changed. So all we have is a few technology things, but other than that, the issues, the trials, the sin, the rebellion, the salvation, everything's the same.
Right.
Nothing's really changed.
That's right, but God... we can count on. I love
Amen.
That. So we can trust in him.
Yeah.
Even if everybody turns on you and forsakes you, like Paul's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
We have the Lord. He's always there. He's our rock and our deliverer,
Amen.
Our savior, our fortress, our Lord of lords and King of kings.
Yeah, keep your eyes on the Savior, and everything else that you have in your life is a bonus. But if all you have is him, that's all you need.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's better to just have him for a time in a season.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you gotta build on the foundation of Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians 2. Build on Christ as the cornerstone, and then the apostles and the prophets, their doctrines, and that's how you build a sound fit building that's gonna withstand anything that comes along in your life.
Right.
Yeah. I just had a last thought. Covenant. You know, a lot of people never talk about this. We preach it all the time that we're in a blood covenant because of what Christ has done, and that in the Old Testament we saw all kinds of covenants. In the New Testament we have the blood covenant, Matthew 26. Marriage between a man and a woman is a covenant. What's a covenant? It's an agreement of two parties.
Mm-hmm.
Each party has a part to do. Husband has a part to do. Wife has a part to do. Jesus did his part of the covenant perfectly, and he works it still today for us. We have a part to do. And a lot of people think, oh no, he did it all. We have nothing to do in the covenant. That's not true. That's called relationship theology. Oh, I'm just a friend of Jesus and he did it all. That's not the covenant that God set up. God said, walk in my ways and you will be my son, mm-hmm. or you'll be my daughter, and you can have eternal life. So think about that. Genesis 17:7. To Abraham, he said, I'll establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. That word covenant, berith, it means an agreement of two parties. It means it's like just what it says. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. It's a standard by which two parties operate. That's what we have in Christ today. Toss out this relationship theology. This is very fleshly, and you don't have a physical eye-to-eye, listening to his voice, feeling his touch, Jesus today. If you do, you probably got familiar spirits. Jesus is not conducting his ministry that way anymore. We have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us that gives us inner calm and cheer, and then we're waiting for that day in the marriage supper of the Lamb when
Amen.
We go to be with him, but we're in a blood covenant today, so Think about that. Covenant versus relationship. How are you keeping your part of the covenant? Through holiness and obedience, following after Christ. Because of his shed blood, your repentance to him and new life, you're walking in holiness and enduring. That's the part of your covenant. Anything confusing about that, Sister Amon?
No, not at all. But I was just thinking about something. You know, when people say relationship with Jesus Christ, I guess I was just thinking about this. When they have a relationship with their friend, they got power. They could do anything they want. Their friend can do anything they want. And it just works if they wanted to.
And they're even.
Right. And so when they say, I got a relationship with Jesus Christ, they want to have a relationship like they do with their friends, where they got the power to do anything they want.
Yep.
And they still get to have that, you know, kind of relationship that Jesus is just going to forgive them.
That's a great point. And, you know, it's not master and servant. It's like peers.
Yeah.
Jesus is my good buddy.
Yeah, I've told women that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's that covenant where he's God.
It's a false Jesus.
And we're the servant. Yeah. Oh, it's wicked.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, I wanted to bring that up about covenant. So, keep your eye. We have articles on that at the teaching blog about relationship theology versus covenant theology. We're in a blood covenant. We must be doing our part. So, just ponder all of that. Anything else, Sister Amon?
Uh-huh.
What you got?
I got my last scripture verse.
Awesome.
This is my ending one.
Your ending scripture verse? Scripture never ends. You know that.
Well, no, the ending. The ending has my scripture verse in it for me.
Oh, gotcha.
Like that. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I was going to share 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
I love that. Be strong.
That would be daughters too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
The Bible is full of so many promises that we can just rest in. I think it's too easy to run to the Bible. We were talking about this the other day, the brothers. It's too easy to run to the Bible. Like I said to them, what's the first thing people think about Revelation? And they said, wrath, mark of the beast, judgment. Satan, Antichrist. And I said, yeah, but there's like so many promises in Revelation.
Ooh, yeah.
I did a teaching on that. You can look it up at the teaching blog. I read all the promises. But same thing with the New Testament and in the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many promises that we should be resting in rather than looking at the world or looking at the wrath that's coming and get all upset. Rest in the promises.
Right.
And that's where we can find our peace. Jesus said, all you who are heavy laden and weary, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's where we're going to get our rest from. Not hearing about Revelation and the wrath that's coming. Oh, we should know about it. The rest comes from trusting him, knowing him, listening to his word, listening to the Holy Spirit as he convicts us, and then obeying it, and then just letting his will be done.
Yeah, I was thinking about while you're talking about Revelation and all the wrath and everything in there, I think people get like really enamored with it because
it's like entertainment almost.
Yeah, and this culture is like really enamored with death and gore and blood.
They've turned it into that.
Yeah, and so they like to dig into that. Oftentimes we meet people who, they're like doing these studies in Revelation, but yet their life is a disaster.
Nothing else. Yeah,
like
I was
they
there one time.
Through the whole thing.
Before I was born again, I was like a last days expert, but I didn't know the gospel and holiness and how to follow Christ. But I was a last days expert because it was entertainment. It was the modern, common, popular thing to do, and it's a really dangerous thing. I warn people: the wrath and the judgment in the Bible is there to warn us so that we can flee it and follow after Christ, and we can warn our neighbor. But it's not something we should get enamored with, over-focused on,
right?
Because we can replace what God wants us to focus on with the things that the culture and Satan wants us to focus on. And I've said this for a long time. Satan gets way, way, way too much focus.
He does.
In Christian lives. And evil and sin gets way too much focus. The focus should be on Christ and goodness and righteousness and truth. And then we deal with all these other things on the perimeter. But the focus is Christ and his word.
Right. Amen. I love that.
That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Tomorrow, we are headed down the road, good Lord willing. We're one step closer to our weekend preach. We'll talk about that coming up. And looks like we got some hot weather coming, too. Maybe like 90 degrees, 100 degrees for a couple days in a row. And we haven't had that this summer. And where we're going, it tends to get like really hot and dry. But
whatever.
We'll bear through it, no problem. And the Lord will give us everything that we need.
And guess what? Titus 2.
What?
I'm preparing. I got us some nourishing drinks we're going to have while we're out on the street.
Yeah, when we go out and we're out there for hours and hours, you know, drinking ice water is great. It's the elixir that God gave us. But then Sister Amon will treat us and she'll get some like coconut drinks or other things that are really add like
minerals. minerals.
Yeah, minerals and stuff too.
Electrolytes and stuff.
She finds them really cheap at the discount store and stuff.
And believe it or not, we're getting older.
We are.
It really takes a toll on us. But you know what? I just praise God because every single time we go out, He lifts us up over these old tents.
Yeah, we forget.
And we just push right through.
We forget how old and sickly we are when we're out doing the Lord's work until we come back and rest and working online, and we're like, oh.
Sometimes it takes a couple days.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. So it is a mindset. It's also an act of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And if we just trust in Him, He walks us through all that. So
I love it.
We're looking forward to it. I can't believe it's Labor Day weekend, the end of summer. And we're already all talking about our trek as nomads south. And we have a young brother that's coming with us this year to go down and meet another brother. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And so we're already talking about our trek south together. And it's like, wow, where did the summer go? We've done so much ministry.
Praise
the Lord's
God.
Let us preach to thousands of people. And
every day almost. I can't think of any day that we haven't given a gospel card to somebody. Or
people have been edified, and I'm not in jail yet, and we just keep going down the road. So
we're still free to keep going.
Amen. So we're really excited. So tomorrow we'll head down the road if the Lord wills, and we're looking forward to getting closer to our preach. And we have some projects that we're working on online that we want to get done. We're trying to get those done, but everything good, all in time, and we're just thankful for the Lord. I guess, I don't know, I'm just thinking. I'm thankful for where the Lord has us right now in this season. With saints that we know, the body life doing good, some big things coming up that are really awesome, and ready to do another cycle of God's season as the trees are turning. We already see some of the geese staging up, as I see in the fall when they do.
I know.
And we'll be headed south, and so excited about the next season.
Yeah, it is kind of neat to see all the different seasons going on, and it kind of reminds you about the seasons in your own life.
Right. Exactly.
It never usually just stays the same. Well, your life might stay the same, but who you are in Christ never stays the same.
Amen.
It just keeps getting better if you're pushing forward.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we're all hurtling towards eternity, preparing for our death. We talked about that. And serving Christ on the way, knowing that we're not getting younger, we're getting older. And unless you're alive when He returns, you're going to face physical death. So pour yourself out now. And I tell brothers, work while it's day. Night's coming.
Right.
And whether that means old age, sickness, or the government clamping down on us, whatever that means, let's work while we have freedom and time and resources and energy to do it. So at the end of our lives, either when we're dying of old age, dying in prison, or maybe they're martyring us, we have no regrets.
Right.
That's what I want. A good death in the Lord and no regrets.
Amen.
And serve Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I know Sister Amon wants that. The saints that we're united to want that. And hopefully our audio edifications and all of our website resources help you want that as well.
Hopefully.
Amen. Anything else, Sister Amon?
Just that I love my sisters, and sister hugs to all you, even though it can't be for real.
Amen. Yeah, go forth and seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. I love that verse. It's a foundational verse to us. So do that. And let us know how we can help you in the faith. We'll be back again tomorrow if the Lord wills. We love you all. Till next time.
May God be praised.
Amen, Sister Amon.
And He
and
will be.
We mean that, and we live our lives to keep that phrase.
Oh, definitely.
It's not just a phrase to us.
It's not in vain.
Yeah. May God be praised in our lives, and we hope in yours too. We love you.